Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question perhaps, well, we invite your call at 844-322-2742. Well, change of plans, friends. You know, on rare occasions, we pause on this Basic Gospel program to share our time with some very interesting and engaging people. And today, we're delighted to welcome one of those rare individuals. He's Phil Cook. Phil, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Phil, are you there?
Sure.
Hello, Phil. Good to have you with us today. And friend, just so you know, I kind of get to know a little bit more about Phil. He is a film producer based in Hollywood and a longtime member of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Working through his company, Cook Pictures in Burbank, Phil has helped some of the largest of the nonprofit organizations and world leaders use the media of film to tell their stories. He's also a prolific author, and Phil, in reading your story, it was interesting to see that you led a relatively sedentary life. In escapades around the world, you've been shot at, survived a couple of military coups, fallen out of a helicopter, and been threatened with prison in Africa. Oh, just kind of boring, sedentary stuff. Bob Christopher,
I'm not the lucky kind of guy you want to be around.
BC, can you think of anything else Phil can do to get more attention?
I don't think so. Phil, we're honored to have you today, and thanks for your time, my friend.
I am thrilled to be here. This is always fun.
We were having a little bit of a technical difficulty at the first, a little bit of a shaky start there, but we're good. We're rolling now.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, for a guy who's fallen out of a helicopter, a shaky start on a radio is not a problem.
Absolutely.
Well, Phil, a number of years ago, we had the opportunity as a staff to read your book, Unique, Telling Your Story in the Age of Brands and Social Media, and it was very significant, at a very significant time in our history, and so I want to personally thank you for that and the influence and the impact that you had on us. We changed our name to Basic Gospel in part because of what we learned through your book. You've set us or helped set us on a just excellent course of rebranding and showing people that this good news is really legitimate and relevant and so important in this age today. So thank you for that. We appreciate you.
You are very kind. It's funny. I've had a number of ministry leaders call me and say, I ordered 40 copies of the book, gave it to my department heads, and said, here, guys, read this. This is what I've been talking about all this time. So it's good to see that ministry leaders are able to use it in a positive way.
Well, we were one of those ministries, so thank you for that. But what prompted me to send you an email and ask you on the program today was a blog post that you wrote back in January, What Christians Should Look For in 2016. And I was really taken by what you had to say in that particular post, and I thought it would be interesting conversation for our radio audience today.
Sure.
So we just want to dive in and start talking about some of the things that you think we should be looking for as believers in this year, 2016. And where you start out in your article is the fact that you think people are going to be looking for deep answers, not just practical advice. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I had the opportunity, the very gracious opportunity to work or speak to hundreds of pastors every year. And one of the things I'm noticing, and my wife and I visit just a ton of churches every year, and one of the things I've noticed is the age of pastor as motivational speaker is over. There for a very long time, and I think with good intentions, a lot of pastors felt like we need to address everyday practical stuff that happens in people's lives. And, of course, being humans, we go to every extreme, and as a result, we started preaching on all kind of things. I walked into a bookstore the other day, looked at the self-help section, and I thought, man, this looks like a typical Christian bookstore. And it's like we're not rising above these kind of daily problems. And one of the things I've noticed is pastors are going much deeper out there. They're speaking longer. They're dealing with deeper subjects. We're working with a number of pastors that preach an hour or more on Sunday. I mean, think about that for a minute. That's a huge change from how many churches went down to 10 or 20 minutes of the message for so many years. And I have a friend in North Carolina who's a verse-by-verse Bible teacher, and he'll preach for an hour and a half, and he's got 3,000 or 4,000 members. There's a young pastor in L.A. who speaks for about almost 90 minutes every Sunday. He's got 2,020-somethings in his audience that are coming to hear him, and he's doing in-depth Bible teaching. So we're just seeing that people seem to have a lot more hunger for the deeper things of God, and I think that's a terrific sign.
I think it's a terrific sign as well. Our ministry for so long has just simply delivered the good news of Jesus Christ, and we have a belief that this gospel message will engage people in a process where they can really figure those things out. It's this process of discipleship, and that's the power of the gospel. And I think as we in ministry will just stand up and deliver the good news, tell people about Jesus. I mean, you can't get any deeper than him, right?
No, absolutely not. It's so true, so true. I have a friend in the UK, Jay John, who's just a powerful evangelist, and he always tells audiences, so you want to be a missionary? Great, go next door. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Asia. You don't have to go to India to be a missionary. Just go next door.
Yeah.
And if we could do that, it would really impact the culture in a very positive way.
Absolutely. Well, as I was reading through that section, we have a friend, Major Ian Thomas, passed away a number of years ago, but he made this comment. He said, if you go into the average Christian bookstore today and looked at all the titles, you would walk out of that wondering if Christians knew how to do anything. And
that's so true.
Yeah.
I love that quote.
Yeah, it's like, man, we have to figure out, you know, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be, you know, a good worker, a good employee, a good employer, how to do this, how to do that. And I think we're just natural-born legalists. And so we always want a rule of thumb for everything. We can't allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to shape and transform our thinking in such a way that we can actually trust Christ in any situation of our lives. So
Brilliant. I
was thrilled to read your thoughts on the fact that people will be looking for deeper answers and not just practical advice. So In your mind, what does that look like? A pastor in a pulpit, somebody in a radio ministry, how do they take a person on a deeper journey?
Well, I think too often we confuse going deep with being boring. And I think that, you know, the minute I start to talk about a pastor preaching for 45 minutes or more, people start to shake. I mean, literally shake in fear. And it's largely because I think pastors need to be more engaging. You know, it's interesting to me that when people, I've been reading the book of Mark in particular, and you know, it's become trendy to say that people don't like the gospel, people are afraid of the gospel, people reject the gospel, people are anti-Christian these days. But if you look in the book of Mark, just count the number of times it says throngs came to hear Jesus. The entire town turned out. In one passage it says they couldn't get up and move around, there were so many people. And in those days, Jesus was a captivating teacher. He taught, you know, not just from his heart, but he taught in fascinating ways that really engaged the people. So I think our first responsibility as pastors and leaders is to be engaging with our audience. Be the kind of speaker that they want to listen to. I know a guy who's a pastor who believes a compelling message is a PowerPoint presentation, and he just puts gobs of text and scriptures on a PowerPoint. It's horrible. It's just horrible. And so I think our first responsibility is not just to go longer, it's make people want you to go longer. Be such a compelling speaker. We raised our children in Jack Hayford's church. We went there for years and years and years, and I could listen to Jack speak all day long. He was just a powerful, commanding, but captivating speaker. So I think, number one, we need to be more engaging. I think that's so, so important. And I think a second part of that is really understand what the Bible teaches. You know, there's so many people that simply teach error. They're not trying to be heretics. They're not trying to be off base. They're not trying to preach bad doctrine. But so many people teach opinions rather than what the Bible's really saying. That's why I love you going back to the basic gospel, because let's relook at that. I think the Bible has some powerful, powerful things to say. We don't have to dress it up. I in one of my blog posts, I talk about you don't have to make Jesus relevant. He's already relevant.
Yes, he is.
And so if we just simply share that message with the culture, I think it will resonate in a very powerful way.
Yeah, because that's what people are longing for. I mean, we have been so, engaged in the marketing approach to ministry. You know, go out, mm-hmm. figure out what people want, and then produce it for them. and deliver it to them. And yet that still leaves them wanting, because it's not really addressing the deep needs of the human heart. Only Jesus can do that. So I think we have to have the boldness and the courage just to deliver Jesus, just to lift him up. And as you were talking there, Phil, about Christ and just the fact that throngs gathered to listen to him, there was something so compelling about Jesus that when he called Andrew and Peter, for example, they just got out of their boats and they followed him. And I think we need to come back to that type of teaching and preaching where people see Jesus for who he really is. Not just this person of our own imagination, but this compelling figure that when he speaks, people listen. When he invites, people respond. That's this Jesus.
That's so true. You know, it's interesting. I spoke to an apologist, you know, a truth guy who has a national ministry recently, and he has spent his life preaching the truth of the Bible and really exposing a lot of heresies and speaking into the culture, and he's a great man and does a great work. But he said, you know, I'm in my 60s now, and I realize truth matters, but the fact is people matter more. And he said, what's the point of speaking the truth if I don't engage people, if I don't make them want to listen, if I can't share it in a way that makes them want to accept Christ? He said, it's kind of, you know, what's the point of preaching if nobody's listening? So it really impacted me in a powerful, powerful way. You're exactly right. The truth matters. The truth is incredibly important. I got a PhD in theology because I love theology and doctrine and talking about those things. However, if we can't figure out how to bridge that into the reality of people's lives, we're just not going to make much of an impact. So I think you're exactly right.
You're listening to Basic Gospel. A very special guest on this edition, Phil Cook from Burbank, California. That's where his ministry of film is based. As a matter of fact, he's a prolific writer and has done things all around the world to help major corporations kind of get their story out using the media of film. And so it's our pleasure to have Phil on the program today, and we appreciate your being with us, Phil.
Well, that was a very nice thing to say. I'm a prolific writer. My wife might say obsessive writer.
Obsessive, okay.
I'm one of these people that I don't know what I'm thinking till I see what I say. So I kind of get it out there on paper. It helps me a lot.
That's
there you go.
Like
there you go.
Yeah.
You're a storyteller. I mean, that's what you do. You tell stories, and you help ministries tell their stories. How come we've lost that art in today's world, and how do we get that back?
That's a great question. That's a great question. You know, if you study the life of Jesus, that's pretty much all he ever did. It's funny that Jesus had 3 years of ministry to change the world. He had 3 years to make an impact, and he probably should have written a leadership book or two, maybe a book on church doctrine, or at least
church growth, something.
Yeah, come on. And he risked 3 years, and just that short amount of time, he risked it all on the power of telling stories. And I think here's the interesting thing. Most of the stories he didn't even explain. Most of them he just dropped on people and walked away. And, you know, disciples occasionally, they just were so thick, he would explain things to them later. But very often, he was willing to risk the power of a story. And you look at the history of the world, the greatest novelists and the greatest musicians and storytellers of the world, understand that stories are kind of like a time bomb in many ways. They're not obvious, and very often you walk away puzzled, but then an hour, 2 hours, a day later, suddenly, like a splinter in your mind, it kind of explodes, goes off, and you realize, oh, wait a second, I get that. And when that happens, it's often much, much deeper and much more significant, much more meaningful. So if there's one thing I wish pastors could do, I think back in the early part of this century in particular, they worried so much about doctrinal issues and getting the facts right and teaching the content and the information that they really started losing their enchantment with the power of telling that story. And it doesn't mean all we do is tell little stories and let it go at that. However, Jesus, more than anyone, I think, understood that stories captivate people. It's funny how often Jesus would ask questions instead of giving people an answer. Even they would ask him a question, he'd answer with a question right back. So, and here's the other thing, too, you might consider is the most influential things in our culture today are story-driven stuff. It's movies, it's primetime television, it's YouTube videos, it's novels. Things that tell stories are incredibly influential in our culture. And I think when we think about that, that's when we start to look at how we can maybe impact this culture a lot more effectively with the gospel.
Yeah. Well, we've got the one big story, the story of Christ. And how do we find our place in that story? And I think that moves us. I think that becomes the transformational aspect of this gospel. Rules and regulations don't change our behavior. They restrict us. They, you know, put a fence around us. They do all of those things, but they don't give us the power to break out, to be courageous, to stand out in this world today. But stories have that power to move us in that direction. And like I said, we have the one great story. And if we will figure out our place in that story, we'll see a lot of things happen to us on a day-to-day basis. Part of that story, and you talk in this particular blog post about some themes that will resonate with audiences in 2016. And I think, you know, as far as the political season that we're in, one of those themes is freedom, certainly freedom in Christ. Talk to us a little bit about freedom in Christ.
Well, you know, it's funny that whatever you think about the current administration, it's the most regulated administration in the administration in the history of the world. In 2016 alone, we have surpassed the all-time record in the number of pages of new rules and regulations by the government. It's something like 82,000 pages of new rules and regulations. And very often you see any organization, whether it's a government or a church or a denomination or whatever, they kind of control things by regulation. And the Pharisees of Jesus' day were the exact same way. It's funny, I've been to Israel a number of times filming for different projects, and the last time I was over there, one of the most popular books in the bookstores was called Electricity and the Law. And the Jewish people were debating, the book was about the debate of, now wait a second, on the Sabbath, do we sin by using electricity? Because it means somebody has to go down to the power plant and turn on the power, and we're causing him to sin. Does that mean we're sinning? I'm thinking, how regulated do you have to be theologically to get to that point where you start debating whether or not turning on the heat is a sin on the Sabbath? And we love to regulate things and control things and create rules. Somebody said the other day that because thinking is hard, so we decided to create rules and judge instead. And it's really, really true. So I think one of the things that people are longing for out there in our culture today is freedom. People just, you know, you kind of see it in that whole Donald Trump thing. You kind of see it in the other extreme, in the Bernie Sanders thing out there. People are just yearning to get away, get out from under a lot of these regulations. And so I think when you talk about the personal freedom we have in Christ, it's going to be incredibly refreshing, and people respond to that in a really powerful way.
Yeah. One thing that I've kind of thought through about freedom, it's a scary word when you get right down to it. I mean, you think of Israel and the fact that they were in bondage to Egypt for 400 years, and then all of a sudden they're free. And they're being moved to a new land, one that they had never seen, but one that had been promised to them. And every step along that journey was a step into the new. And so freedom sometimes is a scary word, and I think that's why we move back to rules and regulations, because there's comfort there. But that's never the way, is it?
So true. And every time something would happen to the Israelites, they'd say, you know, we'd rather go back to Egypt. You know, when we were in bondage, at least we had some security there. And it's right. I was thinking recently, my wife and I were talking, that from time to time, a lot of the ministries and organizations we work with asked me if I'd consider coming on and being a leader or an executive in their organization. And sometimes I'm thinking, well, you know, there's certain regularity in not working for yourself and a certain security. But by the same token, I'm thinking, no, I've been free working for myself for so long. I love it. And I don't think I could ever go back to working for somebody else. It's just a different mindset. But you're exactly right. Freedom can be scary, but the kind of freedom that comes in Christ is a remarkable thing, and it's something that just can't be regulated out of existence and opens our lives to so much more opportunity.
Yeah. I know in this political season, and you know, over the last several years with all the threat of terrorism and that sort of thing, we tend to exchange security for freedom. We tend to want to go back to that, whatever is going to make me feel secure and safe in this world. And that's not necessarily freedom. Freedom is a scary thing, because you're stepping out there into something that you are unfamiliar with. You're stepping out there in trust in Christ, who loves you and knows you best. And you're stepping out in a realm and where freedom is not just the freedom to choose, but the freedom to choose Jesus over everything else. That's what real freedom is.
Yeah, so true. Absolutely. Well, I got nothing to say on that. That's really, really good.
Well, the other thing that you talk about is this overcoming fear, and these two things are really hand in glove, aren't they? You see a lot of fear out there in the world. That's one of the big questions that we get. We get a lot of end time questions, but underneath that is this fear in people's hearts. What's going to happen to me?
It's funny, because we work with clients, churches and ministries out there helping them use the media more effectively. We monitor their social media. And when you look at the general world of social media out there and you start looking at what people are saying all over the country, the thing that stands out probably more than anything is fear. They're worried about terrorism. They're worried about crime. They're worried about just all kind of stuff out there. And certainly we want to take those things seriously, but to live in this spirit of bondage, I think, is going way, way, way too far. So I think helping people overcome that kind of fear, and psychologists will tell you, people with extreme fears, you know, fears of going out, leaving the house, fears of being enclosed, fears of getting in the car, that those are on the rise today. And so I think all these things contributes to a culture of fear. And so, yeah, preaching a message of liberation in Jesus is a powerful thing for this culture.
It is a powerful thing. It gets us right back down to the basic gospel, the fact that God is love. This love will drive out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And if we will just stick with that, I think that's what I got out of your article. It's just the importance of delivering the gospel message. And I think that's one of the temptations that pastors and pulpits have is trying to make the gospel story, in a way that is interesting to people. But in doing so, they miss what's really important to people, what God thinks is really important to people.
That's very good. That's very good. Sometimes we overthink the whole thing. I do think we very often, and believe me, I got my PhD in theology, so I could see how college professors overthink everything. trust me, I love college professors, but they did some serious overthinking. And I agree. Sometimes the Apple, think of Apple computer. When it comes to their packaging, when it comes to their design, it's the simplicity that makes it work and makes it connect with people. And, you know, here's the other thing. We live in the most cluttered culture in the history of the world. In my book, Unique, I believe it was, I talked about research that indicates people are being bombarded with about 5,000 media messages every single day. I was at a gas station the other day that had a video monitor in the gas pump. I was at a hotel that had video monitors in the elevators. We're literally just bombarded with media messages every day. So preaching the simple message will cut through all that other clutter that people are hearing every day. So there's a real point to just that simple gospel going out there.
Yes, indeed. Matter of fact, I released a book last year, and the title is Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, just for that very reason, to cut through all the confusion, cut through all the clutter, to bring people back to Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's the most powerful story that's ever been told, and it will be that way forever. And every other story is a derivative of that. Well, Phil, thank you so much for joining us today. This just flew by. I appreciate your insights, and again, thank you for your help through your book, Unique, for our ministry a number of years ago. I'll always be appreciative of that. So thank you, my friend.
Well, I love what you guys are doing. I always enjoy being on. You ask great questions, and it's always fun.
Well, thanks, Phil. We'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Take care.
All right,
thanks,
you
Phil.
Too, my friend.
Friends, check out Phil's website. It's philcook.com. Very simple, philcook.com. And what an interesting guest. Thank you for arranging that. That was good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, that was good. We had a chance to meet Phil and his wife Kathleen at NRB recently, and they're just a hoot. I mean, they're so fun. They're interesting. And I think that's one of the key words. You know, if I wanted to describe my life, I want it to be interesting. The one word that would describe it would be interesting. And I think that's what Phil is. He is an interesting guy. He's got some incredible insights about truth and this Christian life and how we're to live it and how we're to tell that story to the culture that we live in today. So we're very grateful for Phil Cook.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. All you have to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website. Again, it's basicgospel.net. And also, don't forget that we have that great, great app that Mary Ann from Louisville, Kentucky called about last week. And what a testimony to the effectiveness of the app. Go online to the App Store and download it, the Basic Gospel app. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.